here today. Let it be what we are about, is drawing close to you and pointing people to be close to you, Father. I just love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can be seated. Man, it was awesome hearing you guys sing. And I've asked the sound booth to keep the lights down this morning, because this is just a really incredible atmosphere of worship this morning. I just want us to keep it there. I just want us to keep rolling with worship as we bring the spoken word this morning. But I want to, if you're new here or if you missed the last couple of weeks, Jesse started a series a couple of weeks ago called The Other Path, Holiness. And he's been asking the question, or he's been saying this, that if you want what normal people want, do what normal people do. But if you want what few people have, do what few people do. And so that's just really kind of the anthem of this message, and it's about being holy. And so today we're going to talk about being holy. And so you may be here this morning and you may be going, but I don't really know what it means to be holy. I don't really know how to get to be holy. What are you talking about? Well, holy simply means to be set apart, to be different. And so I want to ask you a couple of questions this morning. Have you ever been at work? No. There you go. See y'all. Have a good lunch. But have you ever been at work and the people are hanging out around the water cooler and they're talking, and you kind of get an ear of it, and you go, what are they saying? Let me get over here a little closer. And then you start chiming into it, and in the back of your mind the whole time you're saying, oh man, stay away. Get away from that. Or what about this? I know it's only happened to me, so don't laugh at this one. But at Walmart, late at night, there's one cashier. The lady that's in the front of the line has tons of coupons and two baskets. And the line goes way down past frozen foods. And then there's that guy that goes, where's everybody at? Is there a manager here? And then somebody says, can you work a little faster? And you get that desire to want to get chiming in on that. But in the back of your mind, you're saying, no, let's don't do that. Let's don't chime in. Or what about when your friends are saying, hey, we're going to go down here and we're going to do this thing. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have tons of fun. And in the back of your mind, you're saying, I got class tomorrow. I got to go to work. We got church tomorrow. But I want to go. But in the back of your mind, it's saying, take your time. Don't do it. Don't rush. Well, that may be something inside of you calling you to be holy, to be set apart, if you're hearing that in the back of your head, when you find yourself in those situations. So today, what I want to do is I want to talk about the five steps to building holiness. The five steps to building holiness. Now, if you are building a wisdom tree in your Bible, like I've told you, showed you how to do that, turn to the front or to the back or wherever you're at and just write in the blank space, five steps to building holiness, and then you can write beside that, Matthew chapter 7. And that's where we're going to stay today. We're going to stay in chapter 7. And as I've read this and I've looked through this passage and I've prayed over this passage and I've studied this passage, I have seen five steps to building holiness through this passage. And so we're going to jump right in with the first one, being slow to judge others. Yep, I said it. Slow down. Don't be so quick to judge. We see this in verse 1. It says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. I'm going to stop right there for just a second. You know, as I just prayed through this and I read the commentaries, the thing that I took away from verse 1 is that we really need to just slow down and look favorably on people. Don't be quick to judge their character or their actions. Because we may not have all the facts. We may not know everything that's going on in their life. We don't know what brought them to the point to where they're at right now. And so we want to just be able to step back from that for just a minute and not be really quick to judge. And then verse 2, it says the standard that we judge others with, we're going to be judged. And I'm going to tell you, that scares me just a little bit. I have to stop and think about it. I have to stop and think, I don't know what that person is going through. Just like Wednesday. I wasn't going to share this, but this just seems to fit right now. Just like Wednesday, I'm flying home from Florida. And I sit down, and I'm in my seat, and I'm in the center seat. Got a guy to the right of me, a lady to the left of me, and the lady's seatbelt won't latch. So she calls a steward over, and he's like, hey, your seatbelt won't latch. And she's like, duh. And so he calls a stewardess over and says, hey, the seatbelt won't latch. So she tried it a few times, and they're like, hey, we're just going to have to find you another seat. Your seatbelt won't latch. She was like, well, at least I'm not a dummy, right? I thought I was dumb, but at least it's broken. And so as they're looking to find her a seat, mind you, I'm sitting right there. And she goes, don't set me next to a fat person. So I'm, I know, it's like, I could have judged her in all kinds of different ways, but I didn't. I gave her the benefit of the doubt. I'm thinking that she doesn't want to be, you know, I know she probably saw a couple of people. And, you know, the airlines do this practice. This is their practice. They put two large people on each side and put a skinny person in the center. So don't judge the airlines. It's not us big people's problem. It's the airline's problem. So, but anyway, so I'm assuming that's what she was meaning. She was complaining about them, not me. So let's be slow to judge. Let's pick up in verse 3. It says, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to a friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. And when I read that, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, here, hey, let me help you get that out of your, come here, let me get a little closer, let me get that speck. And so you've got this thing, and so when you go to turn, you know, you're popping the person in the head with this log that's sticking out of your eye. And if you don't think that God had a sense of humor, I think that's a good place to see he had a real sense of humor, because that is just a funny, funny visual to see a log sticking out of somebody's eye when they're trying to help somebody. And so as I've looked at this first point, we came up with some memes. We found some memes. And I'm going to ask Aaron to show the first meme. It says, people who judge others speak volumes about how they feel about themselves. And one of the things about that is when we judge somebody, we're devaluing that person, but we're also devaluing ourselves. And I'm just going to let her pop those others up. I'm not going to, well, that one I just have to say something about. No, I don't have to. That one speaks for itself, you know? All right. So anyway, I'm going to move on while you look and enjoy those. It says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample on the pearls, then turn and attack you. So let's just kind of take a moment and let's put into practice something really cool, and it's called the benefit of the doubt. Give somebody the benefit of the doubt, because you don't know how bad it was at home. when they left for work. You don't know how bad it was when they just left the doctor's office. You don't know the path that God has them on. And so we will be a lot better off if we give each other the benefit of the doubt and not be so quick to judge others. The second one is remain dependent on God. Remain dependent on God. We find this in verse 7 through 11, and I just absolutely love this. Let me read this. It says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, for everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. I just love that. But we have three things here. We have ask, seek, knock. This is not a dramatic climax to getting your prayers answered. It's not you start out with a little ask, Lord, please help me with this. And then you start seeking the answer to it. And then you're going, God, when are you going to answer this door? It's not that. These are three different ways, three different kinds of things that we come in and we're asking and we're seeking God with. Let me just kind of break it down a little bit for you. We ask for what we wish. We ask for what we wish. We seek what we miss. And we knock for what we feel we're shut out of. I gotta tell you, when I was single, I prayed every single day. Lord, if you were to bless me with a wife, please let it be someone that I can do ministry with. Lord, if you're going to bless me with a wife, let it be somebody that loves you as much as I love you. Lord, if you bless me with a wife, can it be today? Do I already know her? I don't think Christian knew that until last night, that I would pray that every single day. I was praying for her, and I didn't even know her. I was praying for her and didn't even know she existed. And a friend of mine came to me one day, and she said, she knew I did this. She goes, why do you pray for your future wife? Why do you do that every single day? And I'm like, because it's something I want. If God is going to bless me with it, I want to pray for it and ask it. And she's like, but don't you know that God heard you the first time? I'm like, I know he did. And she goes, so why do you keep praying and asking? The answer to that is really simple. It says, keep on asking in verse 7. So let me ask you, what is it in your life that you're praying for, that you're seeking, that you're wanting God to do? Are you praying for it every single day? Are you continually seeking it? Are you continuing knocking on his door, going, God, what's the answer to this? Because I'm going to tell you, I prayed for her for 10 years. And when he answered that prayer, he blew me away. He answered that prayer with somebody that passed all of my expectations, all of my requests, all of the things that I was seeking, all of the things that I was asking for. She met them and then blew them out of the water. So what is it that you're praying for? I want to encourage you, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It goes on, it says, you parents, if your child asks for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? So I want to encourage you to trust in your heavenly Father. Continue to ask, continue to seek, and continue to knock. Our third point is walking Christ's road. Walking Christ's road. I'm going to tell you why. He walked a path that set an example for us that we can follow. We can read his word and we can see that. And we know how to move through life if we just listen to him. And here's what he said in verse 12. He says, do unto others. No, it doesn't say that. That's the version I remembered. I see the words, but I'm doing the one I memorized. It says, do to others whatever you want them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. So do unto others as you would have them do unto you is what Jesus said. And when I hear that, when I hear him say that, what I'm hearing is I'm hearing him say, Charlie, you want somebody to help you when you're in need? Yes, sir. Then help somebody in need. Charlie, do you want somebody to be nice to you when you're having a bad day? Yes, sir. Then be nice to somebody that's having a nice day. Do you want somebody to feed you when you're hungry? Yes, sir. Then feed somebody. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Husbands, be good to your wives because they can lock that door on us in a minute. Verse 13, it says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and the gate is wide and many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few will find it. So we've got an option here. When we're standing around that water cooler at work on Monday and we hear that talk, that gossip, those things that we shouldn't get involved in, we have a choice. Do we take the path of everybody and go over there and get involved in that conversation? Or do we choose to go the other way and step off to the other side? You know, one of the things about this passage is that so often we tend to think that that's talking about Christians and lost people, people that don't know Christ, the people that are out in the world that don't know that Jesus even exists. But in reality, it's not. Because in chapter 7, he's talking to his followers, he's talking to his disciples, he's talking to the Pharisees here. And when he says that few will take that path, let me share with you what one of the commentaries said about these two passages. It says that the distinction here is not between those who hear Jesus and those who do not, but between those who hear him and obey him and the people that hear him and do not obey. So I just have a question. Do you hear God saying something to you and he's saying, hey, I want you over here on this path. And you're saying, but everybody looks like they're having fun over here. I want to go over here. Because you can hear them going, woohoo, let's go, it's fun. Or do you get over here and you go that separate way? Listen to his voice and be obedient to what he's asking you to do. Number four, the fourth step in building holiness is bearing good fruit. is bearing good fruit. Verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. I'm just going to kind of stop right there for a minute. And one of the things that we talk about in youth group is that every one of us, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have asked Jesus to be your forgiver and your leader, then you have two testimonies. You have two testimonies. You have the one that you speak. You have the one you go, hi, my name's Charlie. I go to Two Rivers. I believe in Jesus Christ. I belong to a small group, and I serve in ministry, and I give, and I'm faithful to my church, and I love my church. And people hear that testimony. And you say, and here's what God did in my life. He showed up, and he took care of this, and he took care of that for me. And people are paying attention to that. Trust me, they are. They're listening to that all the time. But then you have a second testimony. This speaks volumes. I mean, it speaks louder than anything that you can say. And that's your silent testimony or your fruit. You know, a good example of that was I used to run a commercial bakery. And I had several ladies that worked for me year round, and we would eat lunch together as a team. And one day I was over at the microwave, and I had my food in the microwave, and I came back over and I sat down, and I started eating. And one of the ladies looked at me and she goes, "Charlie, you didn't pray." I'm like, "Yes, I did." "No, you didn't." "Yeah, I did pray." She goes, "No, I was watching you. You just sat down and started eating." I said, "No, I was praying over by the microwave." She goes, "No, you weren't." So I had to make sure when I was around her, she could see me praying, because people are watching everything that we do when we tell them that we are followers of Jesus Christ. This is just a little bit different here. These are people that are coming into the body of Christ that want to hurt us, that want to distract us, that are actually working for the enemy, not working for Jesus. And they're going to tell us just enough truth that sounds good. And it's going to be going, "Oh, they sound holy. I kind of like what they're saying." But here's the thing. It doesn't matter if it's somebody that's coming in like that and you're thinking, "Man, that person is really spiritual." Or if it's me on Sunday morning or Wednesday night and I'm standing before you and I'm sharing you what I've learned out of God's Word, you need to go into God's Word and you need to discover it for yourself. You need to get in here and you need to see, "Hey, he was right on that. That is awesome." Or, "Whoa, wait a minute, I need to go have a talk with Charlie. He was way off base on that one." Could happen. Never know. So let me continue. Where did I drop off? Okay. You can identify them by their fruit, and it's the way they act. Can you pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from a thistle? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. When I was growing up in Tennessee, we had an orchard on the side of our yard. It was 3 acres, and I know it was 3 acres because I pushed it with a push mower every week. Yes, and I didn't get an allowance for that either. But anyway, it was 3 acres, and it had apple trees in it. It had cherry trees in it. It had pear trees, and I'll never forget the pear trees because I love pears. And some of those pear trees, oh my goodness, they were good. It was like when they were ripe, when those were ripe, it was like you would get them and you'd bite into them. They had that right amount of crispness. And they were juicy. And they were sweet. And they were so good. But there was another pear tree that was just right there that the pears were always tough. and they weren't sweet, and they weren't juicy. And as I read this passage and as I looked over this, I got to thinking about those pear trees. And I remember that one pear tree had ugly leaves. It always had black spots on the leaves. That was an unhealthy tree. It couldn't produce good fruit. Those healthy trees, that's all they produced was good fruit. We're the same way. We're like those trees. If we've got those dark spots of sin in our lives, if we sneak into the computer in the middle of the night when our spouse is asleep and we're logging onto sites that we shouldn't be on, or if we're going places that we shouldn't do, or we're saying things that we shouldn't say, or we're participating in things that we shouldn't participate in, we can't produce good fruit. We're not healthy. We need to get healthy. I want to go ahead and ask the band to come up right now. It says, so every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down, thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Let's be slow to judge, but we know by their actions. It says, not everyone who calls on me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm just going to tell you, this is one of the scariest passages in the Bible for me. This scares the bejeebers out of me when I read this passage. It says, only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who breaks God's law. Know what we believe. Find out what God's word says. Dig into it. Listen for him. Be ready to obey him when he calls. Number 5 is building on the right foundation. Verses 24 through 27. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against the house, it will not collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and does not obey is foolish, like a person who builds their house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. You may be here this morning and you may be saying, Charlie, I see those 5 steps to building holiness. Those are really good principles. I think I can apply those to my life. I can slow down on judging people, but I'm not too sure about this depending on God thing. What do you mean by that? I don't really know him. Well, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to get to know him. I want to give you an opportunity to find out some really cool stuff about him. But you may be sitting here this morning and you may be going, Charlie, I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. I pay my bills. I take care of my family. I go to church on Sunday. I serve back in kids' church. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, that ain't good enough. That is not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Scripture tells us that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us. We're separated from God by a huge chasm.
The Bible tells us it's an eternal one. It's one that we can't get across on our own. So it doesn't matter if we're doing the right things and we're showing up at the right places and we're saying the right things and we're watching what we say and we're watching what we see and we're watching what we listen to and we're trying to do all these good things and we're trying to give to the needy when there's a need. If we don't know Jesus Christ, it's not good enough. It's like us going out front. We could all go out front and line up across the front of the church right now. All of us get a rock, and we can have a rock in our hand, and we can say, you know what? I can throw that rock, and I can hit the new flagpole down on the square. I can do it. And so you take your good works, you take those things that you think are going to get you into heaven, and you get back here, and you get a good start, and you take and you chunk that rock. And it may make it halfway across the parking lot. Or it may make it all the way over to the bank. But it's not going to make it to that flagpole. And it doesn't matter what we do in our lives to try to get us there. It's not going to happen because Scripture tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Every one of us deserve to be separated from God because of the things that we've done. Because we have sinned. You may be going, man, thanks for a bleak outlook. Why even try? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God gave his only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And it's a simple thing to do, to have that eternal life. It's to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth that he is God's son. And if you're here this morning and you've never believed in your heart that he is God's son, he's the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity right now to do so. And I'm going to ask the elders. Some of the elders are already in the back of the room. I want you to go back there. I want you to spend some time with them in prayer. They would love to pray with you and help you through that journey to get across that chasm. Because here's what happened. There was a day that Jesus Christ was arrested and he was convicted and he was stripped naked and he was beaten and he was humiliated and he was mocked and he was spat upon and he was made to drag a cross through town. They laid him on that cross and they drove nails through his hands and through his feet and they hoisted him up into the air and there he hung. And then there was a moment where God turned his back on him and Jesus Christ took on the sins of the world. He bore the price. He paid that price. He paid your price and my price. He did something that you and I could not do, no matter how good we are. It's not good enough without Jesus. And he died on that cross. And before he did, he looked up at the Father and said, "It is finished." And they put him in a grave. And he laid there for 3 days. And then there was something that was just awesome that happened. He got up. He got up out of that grave and he walked out of it. And he is alive and well today, just like you and I, flesh and blood. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he's sitting there right now waiting for you to say, "Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are Lord. I believe that you are God's Son." And if that's you this morning while the band plays, I want you to get up this morning. I want you to go back there and I want you to talk to the elders. I want you to pray with them. I want you to...